Day, an off day, a much needed off day after the gauntlet of 20 games that they went through. They did, unfortunately, drop the series, unable to get the win in extra innings last night against the Yankees. When they return to action tomorrow, it'll be a 5:40 first pitch right here on 96.5 The Fan as they're in Pittsburgh taking on the Pirates. It is a bucket list ballpark I hope to get to someday. You always see the backdrop of, what is that, PNC Park there in Pittsburgh, and it looks incredible. But the Royals
sure does
have not officially named their starter for Friday, at least according to their website. So we'll keep an eye on that. But that'll be tomorrow right here on 96.5.
I think part of the reason that's happening, and I want to talk more about this tomorrow on the show. I think part of the reason that's happening is the Royals understand where they are in this situation. And because of that, they understand that they might have to line up their rotation the rest of the way. So they might have to start doing these things a little bit differently than they were before. But still, really fun game last night. It stunks that it ended in a loss. But that was an amazing game last night, just from a, you wanted to watch a good baseball game that was tight, that had a lot of drama. It had that. Next up on Watch Trending, we're still waiting to hear what's going on over at Chiefs practice. Yesterday, Hollywood Brown was not on the field for practice, so they're going to get a sense of where he's at today. We want to find out where they are. Coaches and coordinators starting to speak to the media now, expecting to hear from maybe Chris Jones a little bit later on in the show. But as of right now, the Chiefs are as healthy as they were. They only had one player out of practice yesterday. That was Hollywood Brown.
Next up on What's Trending, a shakeup in college football announced this morning, the Pac-12. Remember, there were just two schools remaining, Washington State and Oregon State. They are now adding in 2026 Boise State, Colorado State, Fresno State, and San Diego State in an effort to rebuild the Conference of Champions. The additions take away four schools from Mountain West. They're obviously left hanging a little bit. They got to figure out what they're going to do. The Pac-12 and departing schools are on the hook for about $110 million in exit fees and penalties to the Mountain West. They have to add two more schools to get to eight by 2026 to be an FBS conference. And so that's the big mystery. Like, who can they go out and add? And are they waiting to see if the ACC falls apart in the offseason? Like, these are all realignment is unpredictable, but a big shakeup in the college football, mainly. I say college football because that's what's driving realignment, but college sports world.
Did the Mountain West Dirty said, hey, you know, all of our teams, you want to schedule each other just to steal all their squads?
Well, that's business, why they wrote it. They knew the risk, though, because Cold there business. Was language. There was language in the contract when they did the scheduling agreement that the Pac-12 has to pay the Mountain West if they poach schools.
Yes. But that's also what they're using that money for. Mm-hmm. All of these Pac-12 schools have to pay. Plus, they won their court case and are like, well, we want to decide how you're spending your money. You're like, you left. You don't get to decide how we divvy up the TV money. It's all of us and none of you. You left. Right. You don't get a voting majority anymore, which I actually thought was the fair way of doing it. So all this extra cash, they're going to try to build their conference back.
Yeah, Oregon State, Washington State, they decided that the schools that already left the conference didn't want you guys, but we'll go ahead and use their money to basically bring you in.
I also think that was still a wild contention from the schools leaving. Like, whoa. We should get to decide who divvies up the contracts. You're like, but you're leaving, so why the hell would we let you decide? Doesn't matter. Next up on Watch Trending, Miami Dolphins and the Buffalo Bills in a big Thursday night matchup over on Prime tonight. Raheem Mostert's already been ruled out for that game, with a report hopefully this afternoon on whether or not Devin Achane will be available for Miami. He was listed as questionable with an ankle injury. What are you going to do in fantasy? If Achane's out, Achane's in. Do you start him or do you start Jeff Wilson? If you picked up Jeff Wilson, do you start him if Achane's out?
If he is available tonight, I think I still start him. Depends on my running back situation, right? Was he your number one back to begin with? Did you already lose Christian McCaffrey? Like, there's different scenarios I think that would alter my answer to that. But that is what's trending.
Yeah. Okay. Here, somebody's. I was gonna say, is this confirmed over here?
No.
No. It's not.
Excuse me.
That was a rumor yesterday as well. One Twitter account. No.
Okay.
We'll get back to the Shannon Sharpe stuff later. But no, that tweet or that text is not.
I don't think they'd fire you for that.
That text is not accurate.
Okay.
No. Let's go out to the
phone
line.
We do have to talk about that again.
Talk some Chiefs football with our guy, Danian Hughes, of course, color commentator for the Chiefs Radio Network. You hear him right here on 96.5 The Fan Sunday afternoon as the Chiefs take on the Bengals, and he is presented by Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Kansas City. Discover the benefit of blue. Danian, good to have you on the show. One final thought just from last week, and then we obviously move on to Sunday's game against Cincy. But what you saw from the offense against Baltimore, it seems like that still is just maybe the tip of the iceberg of what's ahead.
Yeah, fellas, good to be with you guys again after a big win last week. And, you know, as far as that Ravens game, I thought it was par for the course in regards to what we've seen from this team, offensively, defensively, special teams. Like, there are teams out there, there are organizations out there that want to be their best week one. They want to jump out and showcase everything in week one. And we've just not been that kind of organization, which is a good thing. Like we saw the peak of several teams this past week in week one, likely not to get any better, possibly to get worse. And for us, it's always kind of been just step by step part of the process. So I appreciate getting wins whatever way we can. We left some points on the field. Obviously, the game probably shouldn't have been that close, but it's a win, and it allows us just one up in the AFC. And we know that we can get better. Who knows where the Ravens are going to go from that point, if they can play any better, or if they feel like they have enough confidence that they can play better. But we know we can. So to me, that makes it a double win on our side. And still room for improvement.
So with Isaiah Likely and the toe barely being out of bounds, did you wear the white shoes when you were playing?
Absolutely. Here's the thing. You always wear white shoes when you can, and you always wear white gloves if you're the away team or if you're the home team. And here's why. Because the other team has white jerseys on. So if you want to try to get away with a holding call or something like that, you wear gloves that are close to the jersey of the other team, when possible. Obviously, you can't wear blue gloves against the Chargers, but if you are playing at home, you want to wear white gloves whenever possible because the hands blend into the jersey.
When you look at what the rosters are, this is what we kind of said about these two teams, Danon, is more than any other, and I understand every single Patrick Mahomes-Joe Burrow matchup has been decided by 3 points. This is the most lopsided I think the rosters have been going into it. I'm not saying it's Panthers versus Chiefs from a roster construction, but if I looked at the 10 biggest parts of the field, I think the Chiefs might hold the advantage in 8 of them.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, like, we can still look back, even at the games that Joe Burrow and the Bengals beat us. Like, I still feel like we were the better team. We just didn't play great that day in all 3 phases. This right now, if you want to go with the small sample size of week one and what we were able to do against their rival in the Ravens, you can make an argument that we're the better team, especially with how they lost, how their offense didn't seem to be as proficient as everybody would have thought. Some of the things that they've had to deal with Ja'Marr Chase holding in and the T. Higgins issues and Joe Burrow and the injury, like it doesn't necessarily bode well that you'll see the best of them for several weeks. But what we do know, even based on last year when the Detroit Lions came in, you guys heard me say this, we can take some credit for the success of the Detroit Lions because having them win on our soil in week one had to catapult them from a confidence standpoint into multiple wins that ultimately got them to the NFC Championship. The Cincinnati Bengals coming in, Cam Taylor-Britt talking trash, Ja'Marr Chase not wanting to say Patrick Mahomes' name, Joe Burrow carrying himself the way he does, the overall air and confidence and even semi-arrogance of that organization tells you that if they're able to come in here and get a win, it can be a catalyst for them to change their season around. So, like, there's more on the line than just the matchup in week two or the normal matchup around the league. Teams have been able to utilize the platform of playing the defending 2-time Super Bowl champs as a catalyst, as a springboard for their season. We just don't want that to happen with the Bengals.
We're talking to Danon Hughes here on 96.5 The Fan. You'll hear him along with Mitch Holthus, Josh Klingler, Dan Israel. Sunday afternoon, you're home for the Chiefs as they take on the Cincinnati Bengals. We know T. Higgins probably not playing in this thing on Sunday. Ja'Marr Chase, I know he was limited last week a little bit with not practicing and everything. I expect him to be a full go, obviously, on Sunday. How do you approach that if you're Kansas City? You know they don't have T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd, and Boyd's not even there anymore. If you're Trent McDuffie, is he shadowing him all game? How do you think the Chiefs are going to approach Ja'Marr Chase?
Yeah, I don't think it's about a shadow because you can work around a guy shadowing somebody by running him in motion, moving him into the slot. That's something that's going to benefit us throughout the season with Xavier Worthy. Just lining up a guy outside the numbers like Marvin Harrison used to be is not necessarily how offenses bode now. They don't have that same kind of success with a Hall of Famer type receiver just lining him up in one place. Defenses are much more intricate, much more creative, and you can figure out ways to kind of shut down one side of the field if you do that. So I envision what we've seen from Ja'Marr Chase as well as the Bengals in his 3 years at the helm is that he's been a guy that they move around. They will line him up in the slot, which is tougher to bump and run from the slot because there's so much movement and so much field that a player can work with versus lining up on the numbers. But yeah, he's their number one guy. And there was a setback last week because he hadn't practiced very much. I'm sure because of that, he didn't have the gasoline in his tank that you would have liked to see for game one. But he's earmarked this game. They've earmarked this game against the Chiefs. He understands that in his mind, it's a rivalry. There's disrespect. They remember the Burrowhead. They remember the push out of bounds. They remember the ouster out of the playoffs. And I feel like they're going to come with a strong sense of making big plays to quiet our fans down. Because the fans are going to get stirred up, too, at Arrowhead Stadium. And they have done as good a job as any other organization with quieting us down.
Danan, when you look at what that is, because these two teams hate each other, right? I likened it to, I joked about like Kendrick Lamar's new song, but just like hating everything about the opposite end of everything they do, whether it's football or life related. Do you think because of that, this game is more likely on Sunday to play like a division game in which throw out the normal rules or the talent differences or anything else and just it'll be a slug fight because that's what division games are?
Absolutely. I feel like this is the new rivalry. You think back to Tom Brady and Peyton Manning. They were not in the same division, and they still had that kind of heated rivalry. You add in some of the trash talk, and obviously the team that's had the most success against Patrick Mahomes, the quarterback that's had the most success against Patrick Mahomes outside of Tom Brady. Like, there's a lot of levels to this that make it more of a rivalry against a non-division opponent than maybe we've seen here in Kansas City in a long time. So, like, that's where we're at. The guys understand it. The organization understands it, and they'll be ready.
We know Travis Kelce in week one was quiet, but we mentioned there was plenty of impact he had just by being on the field, and also he did a great job in blocking. Do you think we see the results, I guess, in terms of the numbers? There was some national conversation, much like last year, where people were saying, oh, is this a sign that he's lost a step? Was it just week one that, hey, Rashee Rice was everything there underneath in the middle and that Travis Kelce was drawing the attention away?
I think from a national media standpoint, they get caught up in volume because that's what you maybe see around the NFL, whether it's Ja'Marr Chase, whether it's Justin Jefferson, whether it's the top receiver, Stephon Diggs, when he was with the Bills, Devontae Adams. We can go on and on with guys that are volume guys or part of volume offenses. And even though Travis Kelce is a number one target, like this organization, this offense, hasn't necessarily lent itself to being a guy that is going to get 12 targets every single week. He'll have his weeks where the matchups are obvious and Patrick Mahomes is targeting him more, but then there's going to be the weeks where it's Rashee Rice. Then there's going to be the weeks when Hollywood Brown comes back. Then you got Xavier Worthy. Like, who knows? There are going to be weeks where Noah Gray might get targeted a little bit more, just based on how the offense is flowing. It's not always indicative of losing a step or getting old. If Travis Kelce is garnering two and three guys in coverage and their attention, that means somebody's open. Like, there's only 11 guys out there and four or five of them are rushing at the quarterback. So if he's got three, just by mathematics, there's another guy open. And I'd like to be a part of an offense, and I think we are, where our great quarterback will find one of those other easier targets to hit as opposed to trying to force it in to the greatest tight end.
You mentioned Noah Gray. Matt Nagy, speaking to the media now, just talked about how he's really upped his trust factor for Matt Nagy inside of this offense. How surprised were you? Like, I mean, I guess by the contract, but Danan, his immediate, seemingly bigger impact in the offense in week one. I don't think he's getting 37 yards a game, but that was a new and improved Noah Gray I hadn't seen yet.
Well, the trust, to me, it wasn't just in the passing game. It was in the running game. For him to be that hybrid fullback back there and lead blocking on some of the run plays, you can envision some of the pass plays that will come off of that, where he has maneuverability in the middle of the field like a running back. So, like, it's all part of the process with this Chiefs offense that guys grow within the offense. And he's been here, this is his fourth season, and it's his fourth season behind the greatest tight end in the game. So there's only but so much you would have seen from him up to this point to kind of give you confidence. But I give credit to Matt Nagy and Andy Reid, because they likely saw something that we hadn't been privy to. We just see him as a backup to Travis Kelce, but there's more in his tank, and they're utilizing him as that hybrid guy, the H-back, the fullback, the conventional tight end as well. Not saying he's going to be a mauler like Jason Dunn was as a tight end, but he's going to be serviceable in that role, which is going to open up his opportunities in the pass game. So they see something, they saw something, they signed him the extension. I like his complementary approach to the game in regards to our tight end room, and I envision that he'll have more and more opportunities to make plays. He's made some big plays. I don't know if we win two consecutive Super Bowls without Noah Gray and a couple of the plays that he's made.
Dayton, I know you obviously pay attention to the rest of the league and what happened in week one as well. I'm just curious if there was a performance, positive or negative, that could impact the Chiefs that maybe surprised you at all, other than Cincinnati losing to the Patriots.
Oh, man. Other than Cincinnati losing, because it knocked me out of a couple of survivor pools.
You and a lot of people.
Ouch.
Yeah. I think I kind of blacked out after that happened around the league. But, I just think maybe the Patriots, you know, they get a boost. I mean, I feel like that there's some similarities to the Detroit Lions coming in here last year, and maybe how the Cincinnati Bengals fared against the New England Patriots with a new coach. Like, there's something to be said about that. Who knows how the noise is going to unfold in the AFC East. I thought Buffalo kind of looked mediocre until Josh Allen kind of got his wits about him, and they were able to overcome. I would have thought that would have been an easy win for the Bills at home against the Cardinals. But around the league, you had the interdivision matchup between the Chargers and the Raiders. Who knew how that was going to unfold? Chargers could feel a little boost with Jim Harbaugh there and getting that win. So I think there was no true surprises to me. Carolina is really bad, and that's what they look like. Maybe you thought Atlanta would show a little bit stronger, but there's some question marks there, and we'll be able to see them next week. So I'm not going to go too far deep into the NFL, the total landscape after week one, but I feel good about us.
Danon Hughes, former Chiefs wide receiver. Again, you'll hear him on the call Sunday afternoon as the Chiefs take on Cincinnati right here on your home for the Chiefs, 96.5 The Fan. Appreciate it, Danon. We'll see you Sunday.
All right, fellas. Thanks.
There you go. Danon Hughes joins us courtesy of Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Kansas City. Discover the benefit of blue. Yeah, you mentioned the Chargers, and it reminded me of Harbaugh.
It's not just another day. It's today.
Royals did it better.
They did.
They had a video, a hype video out today.
They did. I saw that.
Talking about today, and it was better than... Why does he say that's so weird?
The issue
is... We make it sound like that's less weird than when Brian Kelly says, family, it's not today, it's today.
It's not just another day. It's today.
Why does it sound like he ran up seven flights of stairs before he said that?
Because he was out there practicing with the team. He was doing every drill.
I will say, they kind of immediately took on his attitude. That was the most engaged tackling I have seen by a Chargers team in a decade. So if Harbaugh does one thing, he certainly does implant his attitude onto a team. And it doesn't seem like he did that in game one.
Yeah, no, the Royals did put out a cool video, but when it mentions today a lot and everything, but all I could think about was was John Harbaugh, or excuse me, Jim Harbaugh, and in his comments that we just played. Did you also see, thinking of the Chargers, that so they're playing the Panthers this week, and they announced they're going to stay out east after the game. You know, some teams do that, the West Coast, East Coast trip, and instead of having to do that, because they play Carolina this week, and then they play back-to-back East Coast games. So they play Carolina, then they play the Steelers the next week, so they're staying out east. And Harbaugh said, basically, I'm sure we'll have plenty of snacks and some board games to hang out there. There's no reason we can't have some fun. Bring the board games and the snacks.
Bring the board games and the snacks.
That's what
what board games? What do you think? What board game do you think that Harbaugh's into?
Life.
The game of life. I think he's like an old school, like he went, like, you know, like an old school gambler where you'd be like, hey man, we want to play all the normal games. And he's like, nah, we're going to play spoons. And you're like, we don't want to play spoons, Jim. We just want to play like a normal. He's like, but I brought my own spoons. My family's been using them for years. And you're like, Jim, we don't want to play spoons. We'd like to play a different game. Thank you.
Yeah, I feel it would be life or just simple like checkers or something.
Backgammon.
Just something real basic.
He's not playing like, you don't think he's playing Settlers of Catan?
I don't think so.
The other, the Chiefs players that we knew were doing that as a group I don't think he's a complicated card game guy. I think he's like a basic, board game, maybe a word-based game, maybe like Taboo. Maybe he breaks that one out after a while, and he constantly says the words he's not supposed to. Or Pictionary. Think about his energy in a Pictionary game. He's just like mimicking it. Pictionary, charades, that's my new best guess.
It's not just another day. It's today.
Someone said he's playing checkers and he's playing chess.
That's right. Chiefs been playing chess for a long time. Everybody else in the NFL out there playing checkers instead.
Chris Jones is speaking to the media now. We might hear that a little bit later on. He did mimic something we said on Monday, though. We had talked about this on Monday, and I told you that if the Chiefs win on Sunday, well, then congratulations. You can immediately eliminate the Cincinnati Bengals from the number one seed conversation. Chris Jones, in discussing that, said, this game does matter for playoff seeds or future buys and those things. Although he did say it's too early to worry about that, and Andy really emphasizes today, this matchup right now. But he's right. Like it or not, the front-loaded part of your schedule is actually, so it turns out, some of the most important games that will matter to you December 30th. It's silly because it doesn't often work out that way, but in the Chiefs' case, because these are the teams who can contend for that, it actually does matter for that. It's weird for Christian to admit it.
Yeah, I'm surprised, honestly. A little surprised.
He said, it does matter, but we don't care about it. But you mentioned, so you're already thinking about it.
Did you watch, he was on Manning Cast on Monday night. It was kind of, I was expecting more. He did the Manning Cast. It was fourth quarter. It was a little bit later at night. And Eli and Peyton were asking him, of course, just about, you know, what would he do in this situation? And so he was asked a couple of times, like, hey, would you kick the field goal here? Would you run it here? And things like that you normally see in the Manning Cast. I don't know. I thought we've seen Chris's personality. It's great. We've had Chris on the show.
When Chris feels like being full Chris, it's the best.
It was the same thing after the game last Thursday. So down in the media room after the game, he's at the podium and, you know, he just was...
business.
Yeah.
Business just, Chris Jones.
But sometimes you get, and he's all about it.
It just depends on whether he's into it. Some of the other suggestions from the text line about what Jim Harbaugh is playing said, definitely playing marbles. That's another, like, just old guy game. He's playing marbles. Someone says, there's no doubt he is definitely playing Risk or Battleship.
Battleship. All-timer Battleship.
You like that game?
Oh, loved it as a kid. Yeah.
I don't even think the Tapp family owns a Battleship game. Maybe we should get that one.
I love the Battleship game. That was so good. Little sound effects, too.
I've had a hard time. We have tried multiple times to get our kids really into board games. We have not. If someone's got suggestions, we have not crossed that threshold yet. The most recent one we played together is the Dude Perfect game, which one of my kids got as a birthday present. Are you familiar with the Dude Perfect guys?
I know the YouTube channel or whatever. I didn't know they had a board game.
Well, you get to shoot little footballs through a goal or fling a little like felt golf ball towards like a stick.
I feel like iPads and stuff have ruined, like, but why would they be interested in board games? I feel like it's kind of ruined that. Maybe I'm wrong about that, but I feel like that's kind of taken some of it away from this generation, as we sound very old on the show. Up next, we will get to the random question of the day, plus back to the Royals, who wrapped up their series against the Yankees, and now what the next 15 look like. Back here on Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you on 96.5 The Fan. We'll get to the random question of the day here in about 8 minutes or so. Also at 1 o'clock today, Paul Charchian, GuillotineLeaks.com. sets us up for a successful week two of fantasy football. Who to play tonight? Who to play on Cincinnati and on Kansas City on Sunday? And what do you do with the injury mess with Christian McCaffrey, Puka Nacua, for example? We'll get to fantasy football in the 1 o'clock hour today. I did see, as we mentioned during What's Trending a little bit, practice-wise, Hollywood Brown not expected to practice today, so he's not.
You and I already said, after yesterday, I didn't think. I don't think he's going to play till week four. I don't even think he's going to play in week three. I feel kind of foolish now because every year I fall for this trap with like one Chiefs player and I'm going to avoid it this year. Every year they're like, oh, you know what? Getting real close. Could be any second. And you're like,
So you?
I don't think it's the bye week, or I don't think it's like that far, because otherwise I do think that they would have placed him on injured reserve, save the roster spot. But I don't think he's back till week four.
So you think next week will be a couple practices where he's limited?
I think he'll start being limited on like Thursday. They'll call him out for or Monday night, I think, right?
It's a Sunday night game.
Sunday night game.
We've been doing the same thing. Sunday night's the Falcons. The Monday night New Orleans game.
Yeah, getting them flipped.
That's why it's, yeah, I get
you. But either way, because think about it. Once again, they buy themselves a whole extra day. Like by waiting two more games, they buy themselves like 30 days to get Hollywood Brown right. And maybe it's not that long, but by the end of it, it's going to feel that way. I think week four against the Saints is when he plays first. We'll see. But I think he's, you know, I don't think he's playing this week. But at this point now, I'll just be surprised if he plays next week, too.
Let's get back to the Royals for a little bit here, though, because they're off today. All right. Then they're heading to Pittsburgh. They're going to take on the Pirates this weekend. The games are right here on 96.5 The Fan. Yesterday still felt like a gut punch loss, even though I know like they're making the playoffs. I know it was already kind of far-fetched for them to get the division based off of the math with 15 or so games to go. But when you're 0-for-11 with runners in scoring position, when you got good relief from Bubich and Urseg, you had Tommy Pham get on base four times, you're in extra innings, and we all hate the Yankees. Nobody likes the freaking Yankees. And you felt like you had a chance and really should have won that series. And then to lose in extras like that, that stunk. I mean, look, Bobby Wood Jr. would have had to make one of the greatest plays in baseball history to get that guy out at home plate in extras. So I'm not saying that play should have been made. That's not what I'm alluding to at all. But that one just was a gut punch because you're like, man, these things are looking up. Here we go. They're going to take 2 or 3 from the Yankees. And you like where the team's playing some good baseball overall. And then you go and have a night where you're 0-for-11 with runners in scoring position. And yeah, I didn't do the deep dive on it. My guess is this year when teams are 0-11 with runners in scoring position, my guess is they don't win many of those games. My guess is it's probably like a 20 or 30% max win percentage when you go 0-for-11 with runners in scoring position.
Yeah, I think that's just more of an anomaly than anything else, right? Where they have been one of the best teams in all of baseball at runners in scoring position. They're missing one of the guys who did that so well in Vinny Pasquantino, so they're not going to be as good at it, but I don't think most games are going to go 0-for-11. I thought last night perfectly encapsulated what I wanted to feel going into the final 15 games of the season before you and I get to watch Royals, and I don't feel like we've emphasized this enough, in like 2 weeks, 3 weeks, we will get to watch the Royals play in postseason baseball again. Baseball that matters at the highest degree. Forget all this like, hey, good Aprils don't mean or good September. No, no, no. I don't care what good April, good September, good June. I don't care what months they were good or bad. Just as long as I think right now they can hang with the best teams in the league. They just did that during this gauntlet. They just played 20 games against, not even kidding, maybe 4 of the best 6 teams in all of baseball. Guardians have the best record in the American League. The Phillies have had the best record in the National League for a huge chunk of it. Okay, so there's 2. What do we think? The Yankees aren't one of the best teams in the league? There's 3. So 4 of the best 6 to 7 teams in baseball they just faced over the last 20 days, they went 9-11. They went 500. So in a playoff series, you flip one of those. Last night's game, you win instead of lose. You have a 500 record. You one more game. And it, like, look, they had a 7-game losing streak in the middle of that. They can hang with the best teams in the sport. Every night, are they going to win? No. But their strength is what usually plays in the playoffs, pitching. This team can still pitch. They lost that game last night, 1, because of starting pitching. Cole Reagans went 6 innings and only allowed 2 earned runs. Seth Lugo the night before went 7 and allowed 0. The night before that, they've had like a 2-point earned run average.
Yeah, very few times.
The last full time through the rotation.
Very few times has starting pitching been the reason they've lost a baseball game in 2024. Very few. It has been their clear strength. We know that. Two All-Stars, plus Michael Wacha, who's been underappreciated throughout much of the season. And that's why, now that they got like a 97-point-something percent chance to make the playoffs, according to FanGraphs, we all believe they're getting there. So once you get it, we said all year, once they get in the playoffs, you like how the rotation could set up for them. But obviously, they're not going to win playoff games if they're going 0-11 with runners in scoring position.
Like the text line said, hey, why can't we criticize the Royals? We criticize the Chiefs every game. One, it's week to week. You get a full game sample size versus
162 games.
162 games, so I can't get hung up on one game.
Yeah, Tuesday night on April the 25th, I'm not going to act like the world is ending like some of you want us to do at times.
And I'm not going to do it on Wednesday, September 11th either. But when you look at what they are, we know very clearly what they are. Now, what I'll say about last night's game, the 0-11 in runners in scoring position, that does hold true and is a concern for the playoffs and rightfully should be. And I looked it up. FanGraphs 92.8% right now to make the postseason. Is in the playoffs, no team is going to be stupid enough to let Salvador Perez or Bobby Wood Jr. beat them. No team is dumb enough to walk into that trap. So, someone named Tommy Pham, Michael Massey, MJ Melendez, Kyle Isbell, pick your player. One player out of this lineup is going to have to do more damage than they have done during the regular season. Because teams are not going to walk in and let Salvi and Bobby beat them. They'll never put enough guys in base in front of them. They'll never risk it behind them. They will face Renfro or Massey or a million other hitters before they face those two. So to your point on the 0-11 text line, and I think that that's fair, I do think that they're going to have to rely on a name. Someone's going to have to be the playoff hero if they win one of these series. Someone's going to have to get a big hit. Massey, MJ, Renfro, again, Tommy Pham, someone. Someone's going to have to
come. That's just how playoff baseball goes, I would say. Most teams. I mean, that's
I think more teams have, like, more reliable players to count on for that. But, yes, Aaron Judge and Juan Soto, you're not going to try to let beat you
right.
Either.
I mean, but during big, long playoff runs that are special, the Diamondbacks last year, I mean, they obviously had – it wasn't just the guy batting second and third in the Diamondbacks order that came up with big hits.
No.
When the Royals won in 14 of 15, it wasn't just Salvador Perez and Lorenzo Cain. They came up with big
14,
hits.
It's Christian Colon.
That's
right.
What I'm saying. Like, so that's just a given. I think we all assume if they're going to have success in the postseason, yeah, whether it's MJ Melendez or, further down the lineup, Kyle Isbell, like somebody, if you're going to go on a deep playoff run, one of those guys is going to have to come up with a big time performance or one big at bat. I think that's what makes playoff baseball fun. And we're, as you said, going to be able to experience that here in a couple of weeks. And you'll hear the games right here on 96.5 The Fan.
Random question.
For you, Gold, for you, Drew, over on the text line, 913-586-7965. Of course, you can hit us up on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, Facebook, where you can see our lovely faces. Carrington's been live streaming the show as well, so if you'd like to subscribe to our channels at either 965 The Fan or The Fan 965 on YouTube and Twitch or Facebook, you can see everybody's face on camera. People are always surprised to find out what we look like. The one yesterday was saying, I didn't realize that's what Rob looked like. I thought he looked completely different than that. And we're like, nope, that's Rob. You could have looked up a photo of him this entire time, but that's besides the point. Last night at the Video Music Awards, I'm going to ask you a question following this clip. Last night at the Video Music Awards, you, I'm assuming, by this point, because we all have social media, saw Taylor Swift have some nice things to say about Travis.
And I'd say cut, and we'd be done with that take. I would always just hear, like, someone, like cheering and, like, woo! Like from across the studio where we were shooting it, and that one person was my boyfriend, Travis.
So pretty big applause, as you could imagine. She later said that he makes everything fun, happy, and I don't remember what it is. But the question I have for you today, as it relates to that, is you're giving an acceptance speech. They name you Midday Sports Radio Host of the Year. You are allowed to thank, not groups, three people, and only three people. Mm-hmm. Who are the three people you thank?
Ooh, for that? I mean, well, in that's exact example, I would have to thank you and Drew.
Wow, you're already up.
Combined.
You're down.
I can't combine.
I said the not
show.
Groups.
I like to thank the show.
I think you're cheating the honor of the rule.
I think you can say the show and then your parents. It's not like you say mom and dad and they count as two people. I feel like.
All right, fine.
Parents, the show in this circumstance, and I think I would have to thank the boss for putting me
you're
in this spot.
You're thanking the boss?
And the exact scenario you just
gave. You called me a kiss ass yesterday and now you're thanking the boss?
You sent a specific text to our boss for a birthday message. You're giving me a hypothetical that if the exact award you said, an award doesn't exist, by the way, midday host of the year, and you're saying, who would I thank? In that circumstance, I think you have to thank your peers. I think you have to thank the person that puts you in the spot they're in, and you thank your parents and you're good.
I have to thank my wife.
I don't have that. So your wife is number one.
My kids are 8 and 6, and so I thought about this answer. I don't think they're getting the thanks. Love my kids, but if I'm only getting 3, and that's the hypothetical we're pitching at, they're not going to know that I didn't thank them. You know?
Well,
they're not going to know I didn't thank them. When? Later?
Yeah.
I'll explain. They told me I am only allowed to thank 3 people. And if I say my wife, my kids, I'm running out of people really fast. You always have to thank your wife. She has to do more things for you in order for you to be successful at the moment. Later on, your kids will apply in that. But I think in the scenario, like, look, if I won Dad of the Year, yeah, okay, the kids.
Well, that's why I gave you the answer. You named a specific award, which is why you guys came into play. If I got an award for something else, I wouldn't be thanking you.
It just depends on the award.
generic acceptance speech, then. Does that change your answer, then? Alex,
yeah, generic.
Yeah,
what's your answer? Not us. We're
generic
out.
Acceptance speech. Parents first, and then it depends on still like the circumstance. I don't have You're saying this. You guys are both married. You have 2 of them knocked out of the way right away. You say your parents and your wife. You don't have to come up with 1. Well, I gotta come up with 3.
Yeah. Well, get a wife.
I'm gonna thank the listeners. Actually,
there you go.
Someone says, why thank your kids for eating all my food and bothering me while I'm trying to work?
Dang.
Someone's like, I did this in spite of my kids. I wouldn't even have been at this point if it wasn't for that. Someone says, thanks to my family. See, again, I think that's too loose. Says that covers your kids and your wife.
That's true.
That's too deep, though. This is why I wanted the question to be focused. I wanted it to be 3. Like, if you had to choose just to thank your mom or your dad. Sorry, it's cutting time. Ooh. You got to decide 3 people. So if you're thinking your mom and your dad, well, you better not thank a sibling because you can't thank them both.
That's true.
If you're choosing just 1, I want this to be more cutthroat. I want you to have to think harder.
This is my favorite part of the random question sometimes. Cody will ask the question. He doesn't like our answer. And then he changes the question again.
Well, I was going to say a different answer.
Yeah,
this isn't working for me.
Did you give your full answer?
Oh, so I think it'd be very, very simple. To your point, I've already got 2 of them taken. I think it would be, sorry, no listeners. Sorry, you guys are not getting it either.
Wow. Well, I'm going to thank the city. The city I love.
The city of Kansas City?
Mm-hmm. For honoring me with this.
I mean, mine I feel like are easy. God, family, or God, parents, and Bree, my wife. I don't think it's
easy.
I feel like it's...
That's pretty standard, man. That's like coach speak.
I do think...
Digging deep into the coffers, but that's fine. I respect it.
You limiting 3, though, is very... If you said 5...
True, they're going to start playing the violin music and walk you off the stage. You only get 3 people to thank.
It depends on the speech, though, because there are some people who have a laundry list.
And they start playing you off the stage, and everybody's annoyed.
The point is, in this case, in the Cody Tapp Awards,
I would not be giving... I don't think
you mention a 4th person, we're done here.
If there was no limit, I don't think I would give any more than 5 to 7. If I had as much time as I wanted to, I don't think I'd give more than 5 to 7.
Have you won any awards?
Would that involve like a true acceptance speech?
No, just have you won an award?
Well, yeah, but yes. Not like required a speech.
What's the last award any of us won?
Ooh.
I think the last award I won was when I was in college, like 10 years ago. I won
Pick'em contest.
There you go.
Is that an award?
I got a trophy. It's an award. We put it in the garage sale.
Nice.
I don't think I was kind of like your fantasy football.
You said award.
I guess, yeah.
That's what I said. He doesn't like the answer.
I was just trying to decide if that was an award or if it was, I don't know. It felt like
what other award do you think I would be getting?
I don't know. I won a Missouri Student Broadcaster Award.
I won the Kansas version for something, but like that was in 2012.
12 years ago. It's been a while.
I would say it's about the same for me in college. I won Outstanding sports media student at Butler.
I haven't won a lot of awards.
I was in college.
Text line says they thank their family, their wife, and Sydney Sweeney. That's the third person they toss in.
Sydney Sweeney. Is that Dusty Likens?
Might be Dusty. Well, I guess, I thought he was done with Sydney Sweeney. I thought he had moved on.
Oh, did he? Wow.
Maybe I'm wrong. I thought he had moved on.
Oof.
Thought he said she was no longer in the top three. I don't know.
Let's see. What's he just updating on his top three?
Yes.
He texts me sometimes. Yeah.
Every now and then.
He randomly texts you his top three most attractive women.
I get.
He'll bring it up at least.
Yeah.
And then the bullpen.
How often is he bringing this up to everybody? Apparently not me. How often is he bringing this up to everybody?
I've heard his top three maybe four or five times in the time that I've been here. Yeah. A little over a year.
That feels like a pretty high ratio. Every other month, Dusty is re-alerting you to his active top three.
I think you've changed the list because he may have someone he's talking to right now, too.
I think, yes.
Uh-huh. I'm not going to spill all the beans there. I know that's not my thing. I don't know if you said that on air. So
from the 816, someone said I got a plaque at my last job. They misspelled my name, even though I had worked there for 10 years.
Oh,
no wonder it was your last job. Didn't last there long after that one, did you?
Oh, no. That may be one of the most. Look, I'm not going to say that this person is the company is disrespectful, but if you've been with her for a decade and they can't spell your name right, man, that's tough.
Yeah, that's bad if they can't do that. Thinking of just company wide stuff, we do have the snitch line making its return to Cody and Gold. It's been months since we had the snitch line. At 1:15 today, you guys can text in to 913-586-7965. You can already start texting some in. You can also call. Same number, 913-586-7965, right around 1:15 or so. We're going to open up the snitch line again. You guys know how that kind of works. It's something we started during COVID when the NBA put together their snitch line. So we said we can do the same. And it's something we've done off and on over the last 4 years, and it's been a while since we did it. So today at 1:15, something you've seen around town, something you've witnessed, something you've done, you just need to be free. You need to get it off your chest.
Yeah, it's time.
That's what the snitch line is for.
Yeah, I think so. It's time to get that news out, you know?
Are they really calling? Is Dusky a thing? I mean, somebody texted in, what is he going to? What is Sydney Sweeney going to do without Dusky, his new name? Is that what they're calling him now on the morning show here?
I have no idea. I don't know the background on that one.
Either way, prepare your snitches. 913-586-7965.
Do you guys have any?
I'm always going
to find out at 1:15.
Maybe.
Find out at 1:15, man.
Good tease.
I'm waiting for yours. Today. You've promised at 1:15.
Oh, did I?
Yep.
Hey, you don't want to let it go too soon. You know, I
don't know what you're talking about.
No, it's fine.
We're going to all find out together, I guess, at 1:15. One thing in radio we learned a long time ago. You never want to think the mic is off when it's not off. Like, you got to be cognizant that the microphone is off because you never know. This somewhat applies to what happened out in Las Vegas. So the Raiders press conference, like any team, they have it on YouTube. But there are microphones in the press conference room above the media, so you hear the question. Thank goodness. Well, the Raiders, I guess, started the YouTube channel or stream, and they left those mics above the media on. Now, some maybe would say they did it on purpose. But here's what transpired between some of the... This is Raiders media. It's not fake.
Yeah?
Unless Gardner really kicks an ass, I think he's going to get his ass kicked.
Oh, really? I'm not a fan, but... Yeah, I just want them to win, so I guess... If he can help them win, make sure that it's Derek Hardy in the other game?
Yeah.
Holy crap!
So that was so. I know the audio is not the best. That was from their mic from their YouTube stream. But basically, media members were caught criticizing Gardner Minshew. Right,
saying he's going to get his ass kicked.
Unless Gardner Minshew really kicks ass, I think he's going to get his ass kicked by Baltimore. Someone else is heard in that same clip. I'm not a fan, not a fan, another voice added. Following up, did you see what Derek Carr did the other day? Holy crap, I did not.
Damn, they got them gushing about Derek Carr in the room. Also, in their defense, say anything wrong?
Nothing that's not accurate.
Yeah. You hear any inaccuracies there? Then unless Gardner Minshew kicks some ass, he's going to get his ass kicked? Yeah, that sounds about right. That Derek Carr is a better quarterback than Gardner Minshew? Derek Carr's been starting in this league for like 8 years for a reason. Gardner Minshew's on his like ninth spot in 4 years for a reason. I don't think any of that's unfair.
The Raiders are stupid though. You got to have the mics off before the stream starts.
I've almost been busted in this. The Chiefs have done this to me. The Chiefs have left microphones on in a room before a press conference where I was getting a little too loose and friendly and chatty with the people around me. And while I wasn't saying negative things about the Chiefs, I certainly could have been caught saying something I shouldn't have. You know, where you just get, even if it's just like letting some curse words fly or things you don't typically want on a stream where the Chiefs might have a million followers on social media. They've left the microphones on me. I actually weirdly don't think it's that uncommon. I just think that like in our industry, like everyone's job's a little bit different. If you are near a microphone, you better make damn sure it's off before you start talking.
Yeah, we learned that. You learned that a long time ago. And I know like they could have been beat writers or not necessarily radio people, but if there's microphones around, you have to assume they are on. That's the best advice you can give to anybody starting in the business. Anyway, if there's microphones around, you have to assume those bad boys are recording and are on.
Always better to be safe than sorry. Always.
Someone says, I mean.
And Drew controls our mics. So we,
if we
tick Drew off too much this week with Cincinnati talk, got to really be careful around our microphones, you know?
It's Thursday. I don't know if.
One time we served Dusty with papers over a hot mic.
We did.
That would be.
We served him papers from Washington, D.C.
That would be crazy.
Well, I mean, it turns out he wouldn't be. We just copy and pasted from a actual complaint. Was that fraud? Did we commit fraud by doing that?
Never.
And in fairness, it was our previous producer, and he was the one who filled out all the paperwork, so we're probably fine.
Someone says, yeah, we've heard you guys say some horrendous things.
I've left a mic on and said some stuff I shouldn't, but like nothing that bad.
Nothing that bad.
And a couple of times I've said it, and I'm far enough away from the mic that you guys didn't catch it. Yeah. Now, I'm not even kidding. This happened to Dusty like 2 days ago, and he was far enough away from the mic. You didn't hear it. It doesn't matter. He was far away enough from the mic that nobody heard it. It's fine.
It did. I didn't know what
he was pretty far away. He didn't say anything that bad.
It happened a couple days ago.
He just didn't want to have a hot mic on. That's all.
Yeah.
That's all. I didn't say anything bad. I just said that. I'm just saying you got to be careful. Someone said ask Shannon Sharp about hot mics.
Don't go
on Instagram. We're live on an Instagram.
Yeah, we'll get back to that, I'm sure, during the snitch line. Yeah, don't be on Instagram live if you're engaging in a certain activity.
And someone says, Cody, are you saying the off air you constantly drop expletives? Anybody who knows me off air knows that I cuss a lot. Alex has to check me sometimes. We'll be in the middle of the bullpen, and I'll be dropping F-bombs a little too loud with more important people walking around the building.
This is true.
He's got to tell me to, like, tone it, rein it in a little bit every once in a while.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Text line, if you want to know the truth. Yeah.
All right, guys. Coming up next, we get to the 1 o'clock hour. Paul Charchian of GuillotineLeagues.com joins us. He gets us set for fantasy football week number 2. Who on the Chiefs should be in your lineup? We'll explore that with him. Plus, the snitch line returns next.